Nominations for the 2018 Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Awards, the Oscars, mark the first time a woman has been nominated for her work in the Best Cinematography category. As we've noted on the Old Mole Variety Hour, there are reasons to be skeptical about the Oscars, starting from their origins in the late 1920s as part of producer Louis B. Mayer's attempt to prevent unionization in the motion picture industry, and continuing through the Oscars So White hashtag campaign of 2016. That campaign helped foreground the excessively old, male, and white membership of the Academy, and prompted the admission of the most diverse group of new members ever added to the voting roster. Still, precisely because the Oscars have tended to reward upper-middle-brow mainstream success, they can yield significant professional rewards for those recognized. That's why, as Pamela Hutchinson notes in The Guardian, quote, "Rachel Morrison's Academy Award nomination in the Best Cinematography category is a landmark for women in film. This shortlist has long been the toughest Oscar ceiling to crack, but now, for the first time since the awards began in 1929, a woman has been included. Morrison, who shot the overcast landscapes and intimate interiors of 1940s drama Mudbound for director Dee Reese, stands a good chance of winning, but women in her field may be forgiven for celebrating already," end quote. Hutchinson points out that even though women have always worked as camera operators, they have also always been seen as anomalies for doing so. Quote, "At the turn of the 20th century in Brighton, England, Laura Bailey operated the camera for her husband George Albert Smith. Georgette Méliès turned the handle in her father George's studio in Paris in the early 1900s," end quote. Hutchinson discusses several other women working as camera operators in the silent era, mentioning Rosina Cianelli, Grace Davidson, Francella Billington, Marjorie Ordway, Dorothy Dunn, and Louise Lowell. We might lengthen that list of women cinematographers of the silent era by looking to the Women Film Pioneers Project, where we can also find out about Mary Marvin Breckinridge, Mae Clark, Dorothea Mitchell, Adriana Ehlers, and Dolores Ehlers. Women's involvement in shooting films didn't end with the coming of sound, and Hutchinson mentions the notable work of several currently successful female directors of photography who've been working steadily since the 1970s or 80s. Carolyn Charpentier's credits include the features Holy Motors and Hannah Arendt. Sandy Sissel has worked on all kinds of films, but perhaps most notably on documentaries including Before Stonewall and Free Angela and All Political Prisoners. Agnès Godard has often worked with director Claire Denis on films including Beau Travail and 35 Shots of Rum. Nina Kellgren has worked often with Isaac Julian. Among other films, she shot Looking for Langston, Young Soul Rebels, and Frantz Fanon, Black Skin, White Mask. And Ellen Kuras is well known for her work with Spike Lee and Michel Gondry. Hutchinson also notes that women have been directors of photography on such recent critical successes as The Leveling, shot by Nano Siegel, Hidden Figures, shot by Mandy Walker, The Neon Demon, shot by Natasha Breyer, and Fences and Molly's Game, both shot by Charlotte Bruce Christensen. Despite this long record, women cinematographers have had, Hutchinson suggests, a particularly difficult time gaining recognition and have faced perhaps more opposition than women in other fields of filmmaking. The American Society of Cinematographers, ASC, was founded in 1919 but didn't invite a woman to join until 1980, when it admitted Brianne Murphy, reportedly the first woman to work as a cinematographer on a major Hollywood studio film. As of 2015, Deadline reported that just 4% of the ASC's members were women. And in 2017, the Society gave its President's Award to a woman for the very first time. The recipient was Nancy Schreiber, the fourth woman to join the ASC in 1995. Hutchinson doesn't venture an explanation for this, but she does point out that camera operator is one of the few jobs on a film set to be stuck with a gendered title. Cameraman has persisted for a long time, just as long as script girl and best boy. Hutchinson's helpful description of the work of the cinematographer may provide some illumination. Quote, "The cinematographer or director of photography, DP, is the director's right hand on set. It's a demanding job, combining artistry, advanced technical knowledge, and team management, as the DP selects the camera, lens, and lighting for each shot, and commands a crew of electricians and camera operators. A good cinematographer works closely with the director to achieve the desired visual effect in each scene. A great one imparts their own unique vision to the film." Evocatively, cinematographer John Alton described the trade in the title of his 1949 book as painting with light, end quote. We might guess that the assumptions about the gender of the cinematographer might be related to gendered assumptions about exercising advanced technical knowledge and commanding a crew of other technicians. Jane Gaines and Michelle Kerner, in their essay on women camera operators at the Women Film Pioneer Project, describe profiles of women camera operators in the silent era in which the woman is always presented as a novelty. Quote, "In her strange new relation to the technological device, this female aberration becomes a metaphor for the wondrous strangeness of motion picture photography itself," end quote. But Gaines and Kerner, like Hutchinson, also indicate that articles tend to dwell on the women's appearance. It's not unusual, even now, for journalists to devote more attention to appearance when describing a woman than a man, whether she's a performer or a politician, a scientist or a cinematographer. But the director of photography is the very opposite of the visual object. When Laura Mulvey inaugurated the field of feminist film theory with her 1975 essay on visual pleasure and narrative cinema, she characterized the Hollywood pattern as one in which man is bearer of the look, woman is object of the gaze. A few years earlier, John Berger and co-authors similarly described the long tradition of Western art history as one in which men act and women appear. I don't mean to suggest, of course, that those pithy formulations offer an adequate summary of those theories, nor that those theories provide a comprehensively nuanced and intersectional account of looking relations, nor that nothing has changed since the 1970s, much less since the silent era. But Berger and Mulvey do point to something deep and persistent in the gendering of the gaze. Hutchinson points to the work women cinematographers have done to challenge bias against them and to support each other. Nancy Scheiber, the fourth woman to join the American Society of Cinematographers and the first to win its President's Awards, is now part of ASC's Vision Committee, an initiative to promote greater diversity in cinematography. In the U.S., female collective Cinematographers XX was founded as a way to make women in the field more visible. The names of experienced DPs are listed on a website with links to their work. In the UK, Illuminatrix works on the same principle. And there's also the International Collective of Female Cinematographers, who provide each other with community support and industry advocacy. There's no longer any excuse to argue that female cinematographers are hard to find. End quote. A woman cinematographer not only challenges expectations about women's technical expertise and leadership in directing a crew of electricians and camera operators, but also foregrounds women's positions as subjects rather than just objects of the gaze. Not all women are directors of photography, but every sighted woman is the subject of her own gaze. Greater recognition of the work of professional painters with light marks an advance not only for women as cinematographers, but also for women as cinema-goers. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michel.
Put your hand in the hand of a man who calmed the sea.